Our Old Testament reading this morning from Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Hear the word of God. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses the man of God concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard it in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and that I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Thus the land had rest from war. And then our New Testament reading this morning, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 12 through 14. 1 John 2, 12 through 14. Again, the word of God. Listen carefully. "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Thus this reading from God's holy word. Please be seated. Oh my, I did not bring my sermon. Well, we'll just have to do it without. Okay, maybe the Lord wants me to do this by memory rather than reading it, so maybe it'll be more more forceful in that respect. I know where it is. It came out of the printer, and it's stacked right very neatly at the bottom of the printer. Anyway, the title of the message this morning is Persistent Faith. Our text for exposition and application is from Joshua chapter 14, the text that was read in your hearing just a moment ago, and that's what we're going to be looking at. This is really a remarkable section of the Word of God. I have been reading over the books of Moses and then Joshua in my own private Bible reading, and I came across this a little over a week ago and was so struck by it, I thought I wanted to take a week out from my study on Hebrews and have us look at Joshua this morning. This concerns a man named Caleb, and he is... It's explained in the text that he is the son of Jephunneh. He's the Kenizzite, and his name is Caleb. His age is given. He's 85 years old when this particular chapter is written and when it takes place. And he makes reference to the fact that he was 40 years old when God brought his people out of Egypt. And so it talks about Caleb as a relatively young man, a 40-year-old. And now that I'm in my 60s, I can say that a 40-year-old is a relatively young man. Years ago, I would have probably thought 40 years old was way over the hill. But anyway, now he's an old man. He's 85. We had reference to those particular parts of life in the First John text. I write to you little children, I write to you young men, I write to you fathers. And so at this particular time in his life, Caleb is an older man. There's something unique about this man, and you might not guess it right away as you're reading it in the text, but it is his name. His name is Caleb, and in the Hebrew it is a form of the word dog. Now, dog is not a very flattering term to us. As a matter of fact, sometimes we might even use the term saying someone so-and-so is a dog, and we might use it in a very unflattering way. That person is not very beautiful, or very ugly perhaps, or something like that. But as you stop and think about a phrase that maybe you've heard, and I hope you've heard, and it's the phrase, dogged determination. Have you ever heard that phrase? Dogged determination. A person that is very persistent, that has his eyes on a goal, that he wants to achieve that in the face of insurmountable obstacles. He has this determination. He will not give up. And I think it's in that sense that his parents named him Caleb. This was a young man that grew up in the land of Egypt. He was part of the children of Israel. Remember, they were an enslaved people in the land of Egypt. And so his parents chose a name for their son. And of course, as a married couple looks forward to the birth of a son, there's a great deal of anticipation. We all have very high hopes for our sons and for our daughters. We want the best for them. And so Caleb's parents named him Dog, Caleb. His people were enslaved in the land of Egypt. Probably his father would come back late at night from a back-breaking day of labor, and his mother would be there, and they would probably eat whatever they could. I doubt if they had a table that was well supplied with all of the delicacies of Egypt. They were slaves. And so the two of them would talk together concerning their expectations for their son, Caleb. And perhaps they desired that he would be a man of faith, as he turned out to be, and that he would be perhaps a leader of God's people and be able to overthrow the oppressor. Well, we can read about Caleb in other places as well. Back in the book of Numbers, we read the story of how Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. The people had come out of Egypt. God had delivered them. He'd rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, and the people went through on dry land, and then they were out in the desert, and they came right to the verge of entering into the land of Canaan, the promised land that God had promised to give to his people. And then it was thought that it would be wise if the people were to send in spies to spy out the land to find out what obstacles faced the people. And remember the story of how the people chose one man from each tribe, and they sent these men in, and for 40 days they walked all around the land of Canaan, probably having to hide at different points so that the Canaanites would not spy them and get a hold of them and mistreat them. And remember how the spies came back. There were 12 of them in all, and they brought a very large bunch of grapes, a single bunch of grapes that was so large that they had to hang it on a pole, and it had to be carried by two of the spies. Those two spies are not identified as to which ones actually carried the grapes. But remember, as they came back, they had both an encouraging report and a very discouraging report for the people of Israel. They came back and they said, truly, this is a very beautiful land. It's a fruitful land. It's a land that we could be very happy in if we were to live here. And here is some of the fruit of the land. Just look at how God has blessed this land. However, the 10 spies were faint-hearted, and they said, yes, it's a very good land, but remember that there are walled cities in this land, and the walls are so high that they might as well reach up to heaven. We could never conquer those cities. And that remember also that the Anakim live there. Well, who were the Anakim? Apparently they were people that were very feared in the ancient Near East. There's several different places in the Bible where different peoples are compared to the Anakim. And the word Anakim actually is translated in the Septuagint version by the Greek word that comes into our language as the giants. Here were the giants dwelling in these walled cities. And so the 10 faint-hearted spies brought back this very evil report. And immediately the people thought the worst. There was this great outcry. And the people said, would to God we had died in the wilderness. Let's go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt we had our flesh pots. We had our meals that we could eat. How could we ever go in and conquer this land? There was one lone voice that stood up to that. I'm not sure if I can find it. I don't have my notes with me. But that one voice, of course, was Caleb. And I think it was... No, I don't see it. Well, I'm just going to have to tell it to you from memory, and I can do that this morning. Anyway, the Word of God tells us that Caleb stood up as a leader of God's people at that particular point, and he silenced the people. And he said, let's go into the land of Canaan, let's take that land, we're well able to overtake it. That's what he said. And Caleb and Joshua were the only two that had that point of view. And then there were the other 10 spies, the faint-hearted ones, and they said, no, we could never overtake it, let's go back to Egypt. And of course, the majority carried the day at that particular time. Caleb was that man with dogged determination as he stood against an avalanche of public opinion that was directed against him. And he wouldn't flinch, he wouldn't change. And the Bible says that his heart wholly followed the Lord, even when there was only him and one other that were faithful to the Lord on that particular occasion. Now, it is some years later. The people of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God had told them, because you were not faithful to me, you're going to die in the wilderness. You didn't want to go in and conquer the land. I'm going to let you die in the wilderness. You're going to get your wish. You're not going to go back or go into the land. Only those that are 20 years of age or younger will go in, and they will take over the land. And so they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then there had been 5 years of wars in Canaan as the people of Israel came against Jericho. And you know the story of how they encircled the city of Jericho for 7 days. Every day they encircled it once, and then on the seventh day they encircled the land or the town for 7 days or 7 times around, and then the walls fell and God gave his people a great victory over Jericho. And then there were 5 more years of war. Well, we come today to Joshua chapter 14, and what this chapter tells us, this is in the midst of Joshua, who was Moses' successor, apportioning out the land to the various tribes. God had said that each of the 11 tribes was to have a portion of land in the land of Canaan. There were the 2.5 tribes that decided they wanted to be on the east side of the Jordan, over in the land of Bashan. But then the other tribes, not including the Levites, because the tribe of Levi was not included, they didn't receive an inheritance as the others did. They were involved in the priestly duties and the tabernacle duties. So the other tribes needed to have their place in the land of Canaan. And so as you read through these chapters, you can find out how God reveals the borders of the land of each tribe. But then in chapter 14 and verse 6, we read this: the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Now just imagine, here he came to Joshua, his comrade. Joshua, who was the only other man of this age. He was probably around the same age. I don't think Joshua's age is given as Caleb's is, but presumably he was in his 80s as well. And these were the two spies that had come back with the good report. They had said, let's go in, let's conquer this land, God will give it to us. And now he comes to him, one elder, one aged man, one father as it were, coming to another. And he says to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Well, my sermon has 4 points, and if I can remember them, I will tell you what they are at this particular point. And we learn here that Caleb has a persistent faith, and we learn a quality of the persistent faith, and that is that it is based upon the Word. It is founded upon the Word of God. Notice how he speaks to Joshua, and he says, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God. And here the word Lord is God's personal name, Yahweh, the one true and living God. And so here Caleb is remembering a word that had come from the Lord. His faith, his persistent faith, was founded upon the word of God. It wasn't based upon Moses' opinion. It wasn't based upon his own inclinations. It wasn't based upon public opinion, because the public opinion had turned against him. Caleb had a persistent faith, and that faith was founded upon the word of the Lord. Well, God wants for each of us as well to have a persistent faith. We read in the book of 1 John concerning the little children and the young men and the fathers, and we see that there are various ages and there are various maturity levels that are seen in the Christian church. And all of us start out, I think, as young men, as little children. John uses that as a term of endearment in the book of 1 John. And he's the aged Apostle John, probably the last remaining apostle among the 12. And now he writes to his sons and daughters in the faith, and he very fondly calls them little children. And so he says in 1 John, I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And so we learn that you don't need to be old in the faith. You don't need to be very mature in the faith to have your sins forgiven. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. It's not because of what you've accomplished in your life. It's not because of what you've done. It's not because of your own earning. But your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. A little bit later, he says at the end of verse 13, 1 John 2:13, I write to you little children because you have known the Father. Well, I think many of you know that our family was down in Florida this past week for the baptism of our second grandson, Stephen Paul. And it was a delightful experience to be able to see him once again. Norma and I had seen him when he was just a few hours old, and we saw him the first week of his life, but we haven't seen him much since then, except by Skype, and we can call Jeff and God, and we can see little Stephen Paul moving, we can see him smiling. But one thing that we noticed when we were in Florida is how he responds to his parents. He knows his parents. Now, he is the kind of a boy that will pretty much go to anyone, and he has a smile. He's a very good-natured little boy, and we're very glad for that. And some children, of course, are more clingy. We met an old friend down in Florida while we were there, and he has three little adopted children, and they're as cute as can be, and you kind of want to reach out and pick them up and just enjoy holding them close because they're so cute. But they are very clingy. On the other hand, they don't want to go to anyone except mom and dad, or maybe grandpa, because grandpa also is very close to them. So here it says, I write to you little children because you have known the Father. And so the little children in John's scheme don't know a whole lot, but they do know who Daddy is. They do know who God is, and ultimately the Father there is God the Father, and our version shows that by that capital F. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And so if you're here, and maybe you haven't been a Christian very long, maybe you don't know a whole lot about the faith, but I want to assure you that your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned. We've broken God's holy law. We have offended a holy God. We cannot come into the presence of a holy God because of our sins. As it tells us in Isaiah, it says, your sins have, or your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And yet, if you're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, John 1, verse 12, As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Then I want to assure you, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Your sins against God Himself, the first four commandments, that first table of the law, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You have sinned against a holy God, but your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And then the last six commandments, having to do with your duty to your fellow man. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or thy neighbor's wife. I write to you, little children, John says, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Then he says in 1 John 2:13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And now, of course, Caleb, at age 85, he has a large home. He's got probably children and grandchildren at this particular point. And so he certainly qualifies as a father in John's scheme here. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning, the one who created all things. And the Bible teaches that God created all things that are, all things that we see, and all things that we don't see, the visible and the invisible. He created them all. And He was before that, as it tells us in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, created all things. John tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the Father here is said to have known Him who is from the beginning, the one true God. Then it says in the second part of verse 13, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And then he says at the end of verse 14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. And so we learn that Caleb, in the Bible, when he was a relatively young man of 40 years old, he was very strong. Not only was he strong enough to walk all over the land of Canaan for 40 days and to bring back that bunch of grapes carried on the pole between two people. He was very strong, and he was fit and ready to go to war. But he didn't want to go to war in Canaan because of his own personal strength. The Bible assures us, and I'll give you the references later, even if I can't find them now, the Bible assures us over and over again that his heart wholly followed the Lord his God. And so he says in our text this morning in Joshua 14 and verse 11, he says, here I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." So the young men are strong, as John tells us in 1 John. But Caleb says, "I'm still strong. I'm an aged man now. I'm 85 years old, and yet I'm still able to go to war." And we're going to return to that thought in just a moment. Well, as I consider the outline this morning, the first point, as I have just given it, is that a persistent faith is founded upon the Word. But secondly, we can see this morning that a persistent faith is a faith that is in the Lord. Take a look at verse 9. Let me read all of verse 9. It says, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" And so I want to point out to you that a persistent faith is not a faith in self. It's a faith in the Lord God. It's founded upon the Word of God, and it's a faith that is fixed upon the Lord God. It's a faith in the one true God. Well, he speaks of the fact that that the heart of the people melted when they heard the report of the 10 spies that said, "Nope, we shouldn't go up and conquer the land." He says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So the faith is founded upon the Word, and it's a faith that follows the Lord God and is fixed upon the Lord God. Well, what about you? You are called upon as well to be a man or woman of faith. And we are sometimes called, in politically correct language, we are people of faith. They don't talk about us as Christians so much anymore. We're people of faith. We share faith. Other people have faith as well. Muslims and Jews have faith. There's all kinds of people of faith that have faith in this or that philosophy or this or that system or this or that God. But here is a faith that is fixed upon the Lord, upon the one true and living God. So here Caleb is saying, in essence, he's saying, my faith is founded upon the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the Word that the Lord said to Moses. And by the way, it's very dramatic, if I would have remembered to bring the references this morning. As you read in the book of Numbers, you read how the 10 spies that brought back the evil report, they perished in the plague. And the Lord saved alive only two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb. And the reason given here, and Caleb reminds his friend Joshua that even though the heart of the people melted, he says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God. I had that dogged determination, even though 1.5 million Jews at that particular time said, 'No, we're not going to go in. We're not going to take the land that God has promised to give it.'" Even though he swam against a huge and almost irresistible tide, his faith would not give up. He would not give up on what the Lord had called him to do. I'd like to have us return now to verse 11, Joshua 14:11. He says, "I'm now 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Now, why does he bring this up? Why does he emphasize his strength? Well, the Bible tells us, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." As he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Actually, it's 2 Timothy. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called." Here is the situation. He says in verse 12, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, And so here's Caleb, 85 years old, and he doesn't want to have his inheritance in a part of Israel, in a part of Canaan that had already been conquered. He wants to go out and conquer a new territory. He wants to conquer the town Hebron and the mountain that it was on. And if you look on a map of Israel, it's south of Jerusalem. It's west of the Dead Sea. And there is Hebron, and it's still there to this day. I went on a tour to Israel a couple of decades ago, and we were not able to go to Hebron because there was a lot of fighting that was going on there at that particular time. But here's Caleb, and he doesn't say, give me a nice, cushy, comfortable place somewhere where there's not a lot of conflict going on. Give me my inheritance in a peaceful place where there's not a lot of conflict. He says, no, give me this mountain. Give me Hebron. I'm just as strong today as on the day that Moses sent me. Just in case Joshua would have said, Caleb, what are you asking for? Look at this place that you're asking to have as your inheritance. Surely you don't want that, Caleb. Remember, Caleb, you're 85 now. You're the oldest man in all the land of Israel. Do you really want to have Hebron? Well, no. He says, I'm just as strong today as on the day that Moses sent me. I'm just as strong today as on the day that Moses told me on the strength of the Lord's word, you're going to go in and you're going to inherit the land and it's going to be the inheritance for you and for your children forever. I'm just as strong today. Give me a challenge. And so, a persistent faith is a faith that fights the good fight of faith. A persistent faith is founded upon the Word of God. A persistent faith is fixed on the Lord God, the one true and living God. And a persistent faith is ready for a challenge. It's ready to fight the good fight of faith. And so he says, and I don't take this as an idle boast. I take it as a sober assessment of who he was at this particular part of this life. Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. This is an 85-year-old talking, folks. How many 85-year-olds do you hear talking about, my faith is strong enough, my strength is strong enough for war? Most 85-year-olds are worried about how they're going to get out of bed at night and go to the bathroom without falling over and tripping on something in their apartment. They're worried about finding a comfortable place where they can sit down and where they can enjoy a little bit of comfort and solitude. Caleb wasn't thinking in those terms. He says, my strength was strong 40 years ago, 45 years ago, and it's still strong, and it's strong for the war, both for going out and for coming in. So Caleb's faith was a faith that fought the good fight of faith. The Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about retirement. It does have some things. You read about the priests in the Old Testament. You read about how they began to serve at age 30. And they served from 30 until 50. And then at 50 they retired, sort of. And then they would help out the other priests and give assistance. But they were retired from the regular work of slaying the animals in the tabernacle. But here's a man that wasn't ready for retirement yet. He had a persistent faith. He had a faith that was so strong that at age 40 he would swim against the tide of public opinion with that dogged determination. And now at age 85 he said, I want another challenge. Give me this mountain. Well, finally, this morning I want you to see that Caleb's faith, a persistent faith, was a faith that was blessed by God. Here was a faith that sought God's blessing, a faith that found God's blessing. He says in verses 12 and 13, "Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there." Remember, that's the word giants in the Septuagint version. "You heard how the giants were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And maybe you're a little bit troubled when you hear those words, "it may be." Maybe you're thinking when you read those words, "Well, Pribble, maybe you have this all wrong. Maybe this is not a man of faith. Here's a man that is facing the possibility that he's going to have a defeat rather than a victory." But I take this phrase, "it may be," in the same sense that the three Hebrew children, the men Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the friends of Daniel, how they spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar said, "Don't you know that I have this hot furnace? It's heated up 7 times hotter. And if you don't fall down and worship my gods, if you don't fall down and worship my statue, I'm going to have you cast into the furnace." Remember how they said to him at that time, "Nebuchadnezzar, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if not, if he chooses not to do that, I want to tell you, we're still not going to fall down and worship your image. And if God chooses to allow us to die a death in that fiery furnace that's heated up 7 times hotter than it ever was before, then that's fine. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to be with him. We're going to be rejoicing with the angels. Don't worry about us. We're still not going to worship your God." That's how I take the "it may be" here in verse 12. "It may be that the Lord will be with me." Not saying, "Well, it may be that the Lord will not be with me," but read the whole sentence there. "It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." It may be that the Lord has other plans. Maybe he wants me to die up there on Hebron. Maybe he wants me to die on that mountain. Maybe he wants one of the Anakims to overpower me. If so, that's fine. I'm ready to go to heaven anyway. That's how he used those words, "it may be" there. Finally, we read in verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance." A persistent faith then is founded upon God's word. A persistent faith is fixed in the one true and living God. A persistent faith fights the good fight of faith. And finally, a persistent faith finds God's blessing. And so Joshua, this man whose name means Jehovah is our salvation, this man whose name is taken by our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, "Thou shalt call his name Yeshua," Joshua, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Joshua blessed him. And that's what you and I want as followers of Jesus Christ. We want our Lord and Savior to bless us as well. Just as one of the Old Testament saints said, "Give me children or else I die." So we would say to the Lord, "Lord, bless me." And the Lord can bless us. And so we read in verses 14 and 15, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, the greatest one of the giants. And Caleb wanted that mountain as his inheritance." And then we read in verse 15 at the very end, "Then the land had rest from war." And so the people of God were fixed in their inheritance. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to have a persistent faith. We need Joshua, Jesus' blessing. "May the blessing of the Lord our God be upon us. May the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. May he strengthen the work of our hands upon us." The work of our hands, may he establish it. And so we learn that from the Word of God. Well, here then is a persistent faith. We read in the book of Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. God doesn't want a kind of faith that's just a flash in the pan. Maybe it attracts a lot of attention at one point and then it kind of fizzles out. He wants a persistent faith. He wants a persistent faith from all of us. And I think all of you know that we as a very small congregation face a lot of challenges. And we are going to need a lot of persistent faith. If God is going to bless us, if we go and fight the good fight of faith in this community, we're going to face adversaries, we're going to face obstacles. The biggest obstacle may well be discouragement. We're going to face that. But God wants us to have a persistent faith. And He promises that if we have that persistent faith, by His grace, it's not something that we make within ourselves, but if we ask for it and if He gives it to us as a gift, He's not going to abandon us. And so the Bible tells us that we're not to despise the day of small beginnings. God can do a great work through us, His people, if we are faithful. Well, may all of us then have that very same attitude that Caleb, this doggedly determined man that swam against the tide, had when he wholly followed the Lord his God. May we wholly follow the Lord our God as well. May our faith be founded upon the Word. May it be fixed on Jesus Christ. May we have that kind of a faith that fights the good fight of faith, that we don't just sit in our rocking chairs waiting for things to happen, but where we actually go out and actively fight the good fight of faith. And may we have the kind of faith that finds God's blessing when He gives us an inheritance in the saints of light. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that there's a message in the Bible for all of us, little children, young men, fathers, mothers, young women, aged men, aged women. Lord, we do thank You, Lord, that there's a message for us. And we know, Lord, that You desire that each one of us have a persistent faith, a faith that's founded upon the Word of God, a faith that's fixed upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, a faith that fights the good fight and doesn't give up, and a faith that finds Your blessing. Lord, do Your work in our hearts. Lord, we know that not one of us in this room deserves eternal life because of our own good works. We know, Lord, that only the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to come into the presence of a holy God in the very inner sanctum of heaven. Lord, we know that we need Christ. Give us the faith, Lord, to look to Him and trust in Him. Lord, may our faith be strong as young men as we go out and fight against the wicked one. And Lord, may our faith be persistent as old men and old women. May we never give up, but may we continue to trust in You. We pray now in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.